following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Wendy's presents The Millionaire.
Pardon me, miss, what is that sandwich?
Oh, my grilled chicken flatbread?
Simply top shelf.
Yeah, Asiago cheese, warm flatbread.
I'll give you $100. I can call my lawyer now.
Oh, actually, it's from Wendy's.
Wendy's, so no legal fees. Bully.
Introducing new flatbread grilled chicken sandwiches from Wendy's. Warm, multigrain flatbread in delicious flavors like Asiago ranch and smoky honey mustard.
Mmm, superb.
Now that's better.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time.
On day one, everyone is undefeated.
Are you going to look down at shame and say, man, I could have worked a little harder. I could have pushed it just a little bit harder.
For everyone, it's a tryout.
This is just day one. We got an entire season.
That's why every moment of every first practice is your chance. Whatever season you're starting, Dick's Sporting Goods knows what you need.
You got to get better each and every day.
From day one.
Day one on this journey, man.
Be untouchable. Every season starts at Dick's Sporting Goods.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald, Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star, from ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We are jam-packed for this final Friday of April. Coming up, Jerry DiNardo is going to join us for our TNL recruiting update, talking about a little bit more than recruiting because it's just quiet this time of the year. But from the BTN, the Big Ten Network, the former coach is going to join us in our next segment to take a look at last night's draft. And they didn't get shut out. Good job, Dallas Cowboys. They drafted a Big Ten player in Travis Frederick, the center, out of Wisconsin. Many people thought the Big Ten would get flat shut out in the first round last night. And that is the only selection out of the Big Ten. So be it. We'll also be talking with Steve Anderson at Fodder Park at the end of the show. Now that he's had some time to digest the field for the Al Swihart and the Bosselman to be run tomorrow, we'll get his predictions. And we'll also talk to one of the winningest coaches in college baseball, Fred Hill. 30 years at Rutgers. They are in Omaha along with Nebraska, Creighton, and Oklahoma State for the TD Ameritrade Classic this weekend. So plenty to talk about here on today's Duck and Daddy Show. And right off the top, we go to the Dent Popper inbox here. And Mark says, how's the old saying go? There's always tomorrow. Look at the bright side. The Honey Badger's still on the board. Nice job, Jerry. Go Rams. Rams, they're getting a lot of play. Travis Frederick, center, Wisconsin. Yep, okay, we'll see. Cowboys need a little bit of help. Whatever. They traded. They made a trade. They could have went 18th, but they traded with the 49ers, so they did pick up a little something there. I thought it was real interesting. Bill Polian, the general manager of the Colts and has been on ESPN here the last couple of years. He's saying, I just don't criticize. He goes, because maybe we don't like him. Maybe it would have been somebody I don't like, but the team that is looking at him, obviously they think that's the man. You always have to wait and see how things pan out. But it was fairly boring, and a couple of the trades were predicted, so not a whole lot. The E.J. Manuel selection by the Bills, that's the big one. Geno Smith and Manti Te'o not going in the first round. If they had, then I think it probably would have been a pretty boring first round. It's not supposed to go according to Hoyle, are exactly like Mel Kiper or Todd McShay or Scouts Inc. or anybody else predicts. So round two, 5:30 today, and round three will follow, and it's here on ESPN Radio, plus coverage tomorrow of the NFL draft as well, right here on ESPN Radio. And again, don't expect any Huskers to be selected today. Hopefully, a few of them will be able to go tomorrow. And that would include maybe a Will Compton, Rex Burkhead, Brett Maher, Damian Stafford. Stafford's about the only guy that I'm seeing consistently being selected. And most of these NFL draft boards, they just don't throw kickers on there. And if they do, it's in the seventh round because they'll give a kicker to a team that needs a kicker, like we talked about, Cleveland, Detroit, a handful of the others that really don't even have one coming back from last year. So it's hard to tell. Brett Maher is third or fourth on the kicker board. It seems like every board I looked at, they took the Florida and the Florida State kicker in the seventh round and then had the rest of the guys going as a free agent. So we'll see how it all breaks down. Tomorrow will be a much bigger day for Nebraska players than today. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart poll question for the day that has something to do with the NFL draft. Which of these offseason pickups for the Chiefs was the best? Their number one pick last night in offensive tackle Eric Fisher, trading for quarterback Alex Smith, or getting Andy Reid as their head coach. Which of those picks for the Chiefs was the best? You can vote on our Midtown Mart cooler question over the weekend and every day at ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com. Our question yesterday, how much of the draft are you planning on watching? 64% said Thursday and Friday, the first three rounds. 27% said just yesterday. 9% said none of it. We'll watch football this fall. So you can always vote on our Midtown Mart cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. Also, where you can like us on Facebook and keep up to date with what's going on our airwaves, as we've got NBA basketball and Major League Baseball this weekend as well. In the NBA last night, gets a couple of the series at 2-1, with Chicago beating Brooklyn and Memphis getting on the board against the Clippers. The Miami Heat continue to look dominant as they down Milwaukee 104-91. The three games and three series that continue tonight, it's the Knicks Celtics, the Lakers Spurs, and the Warriors taking on Denver and the Nuggets. So that's what's going on tonight. Big hit for Alex Gordon yesterday. First grand slam of his career, and the Royals continue to play some decent baseball here in the first month of the season. The grand slam is going to be the highlight in an 8-3 10-inning victory. That grand slam coming in the 10th inning yesterday over Detroit. Also, we'll get to Doug McDermott in just a moment. Don't want to overlook this. Kind of touched on it earlier in the week. But how many MMA fans, UFC fans, do we have out there? UFC 159 tomorrow. Chael Sonnen and John the Bones Jones are going to go after it. What do you think? Anybody care? And if you do, what's your prediction? Email us, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. The Bruce Furniture Fan Line is 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. ESPN. You can always like us on Facebook at ESPN Superstation. Tweets are there at ESPN 1460 and 1550. And again, Doug McDermott saying yesterday that he is going to stay at Creighton. We'll see how that pans out. I don't know that that's a good or a bad decision. I don't think he's really going to really hurt his draft stock at all. And I think he's going to get to play another year in college. And so many people that like college. I mean, there's some guys that go to college and want out as soon as possible, but he's one of them that likes college, Doug McDermott. And so he's going to stay. You've got the Rick Pitino tattoo posted. He served up on the bet. Huh? I just caught a little bit of that this morning, but you can check out Rick Pitino on his left back of his left shoulder, gets the tattoo. He told his team if they won the national championship, he'd get a tattoo. And I guess he did it. And he's showing it off there next to the NCAA championship. That's not just a little thing, you know. That's a real deal. Louisville, and then he puts the year off to the side. I wonder if they win some more, if he'll just keep adding years to the back.
I did see that there was the 33-5 record, though. So I don't know where they'd put that if they kept adding years.
Well, so much for that. Nebraska Danger home tonight. They take on the Colorado Ice. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network, will join us right after this.
Come on in. Let the games begin. NFL coaches call the plays right to the quarterback's helmet, just as a great sports bar like HK Sports Bar and Grill sends you the signals right to your smartphone when you text HKVIP to 90210. Hi, this is Jeremy, the new general manager at HK Sports Bar and Grill of Hastings. We're adding more feature items and bonus alerts every week, so text HKVIP to 90210. I guarantee you'll score a deal as an HKVIP. Text HKVIP to 90210 and let the games begin.
Fram knows there are smooth roads, dirt roads, roads less traveled, and roads begging to be driven. Fram knows there are fast drivers, cautious drivers, drivers with a destination,
turn right ahead,
and drivers who are lost. That's why, no matter what you drive, no matter how you drive, no matter what oil you use, there's a Fram oil filter that helps keep your engine healthier longer. Find your Fram oil filter at your local automotive store.
If you're an NBA or NHL fan, congrats. This is your time of year.
It's officially playoff season. That means it's time to get to StubHub.
On StubHub, not only can you grab the seats you want for the most crucial clashes of the season, you can get big-time rewards. We're talking up to 3% back on your tickets.
Plus the chance of preferred access events.
Complimentary seat upgrades.
And once-in-a-lifetime experiences, like Chalk Talk with the coach.
You know, stuff that normally only folks like us are lucky enough to do. So whether you want to see your team fight for the ultimate crown on the hardwood or on the ice, get to StubHub and get rewarded.
Lose 30 pounds in only 3 weeks? Really? If you're frustrated with outrageous weight loss promises, Complete Nutrition is about to change that. Try Refirm, the first ever and only weight loss product on the market that actually shrinks fat cells.
This is Dr. Lisa Stout. I'm excited to tell you about the breakthrough weight loss product from Complete Nutrition called Refirm. Refirm does something you've never experienced. It actually shrinks fat cells, and that means losing weight and fitting into your clothes faster.
Refirm revs up energy and metabolism, but also shrinks fat cells. Hurry into your neighborhood Complete Nutrition store while supplies last. Please note, if you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, visit your Complete Nutrition store to adjust your plan.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com. Presented by AutoTrader.com. Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and the Thunder finished the season with a West best record. But a return trip to the finals is the ultimate goal. To get past the first round, they'll have to handle James Harden and the Houston Rockets. Game 3 of the Thunder and Rockets. Saturday, 8:30 on ESPN, ESPN Radio, and ESPNRadio.com. Presented by AutoTrader.com.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops as we head through the day today, with a high at around 70, as winds stay variable at 5 to 15. Then skies will stay mainly clear by tonight, with low at 42. Then we climb up to 77 Saturday. Right now it's 57.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, welcoming the beautiful weather just like everyone across the state of Nebraska is. And now that the snow is gone and you look at that vehicle, you went and you took it to the car wash or you washed it in your driveway and you went, maybe it's time to trade it up. Maybe you're going to get a new car. Maybe you're going to get a new truck. Maybe you're going to get a pre-owned used vehicle. They've got it all for you at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. You can always check out the complete inventory online at thinkmidway.com. Maybe you've seen that the alignment's out a little bit, or maybe you need some new tires. You can do that as well in their service department. Great maintenance crew, certified mechanics that take care of everything on every vehicle, whether they sold it to you or not, they're going to take care of it. And don't forget, till the end of the month right now, you can take advantage not only of the Midway hassle-free price, but their special incentives from the dealer, like Silverado 1500 and Ram 1500s, 1.9% financing for 72 months, 3.9% financing for 84 months with approved credit. And, of course, you can get up to $9,000 back on those as well. Financing for 72 months on every new vehicle. How about 2.9% right now with approved credit? Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. And think Midway, it's a better way. Midway Auto Dealerships. Flying solo on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Jimmy will be back with us next week to talk about everything that's going on. I know it's killing him because he wanted to talk about the biggest horse race in the state of Nebraska tomorrow, but we'll talk with Steve Anderson, Fodder Park, a little bit later on in the show. Fred Hill, Rutgers baseball coach, will join us in our next segment, but right now we're pleased to welcome the coach, and from Big Ten Network, Jerry DiNardo joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Well, great to have you on. Know you're a busy man. It's a fun time of the season. Spring practices finishing up in the Big Ten. We've got the draft going on. I want to start with the draft. Everybody nationally seemed to be up in arms that the Big Ten wasn't going to have anyone selected in the first round, and then Travis Frederick went yesterday. Should we be up in arms that the Big Ten isn't more well-represented in the first round?
Well, I think it's an indication of talent without question. I think one of the ways that the Big Ten can improve its BCS showing, its national championship success, starts with recruiting. And I think when you look at the draft, it's obvious that it is somewhat reflective of the teams that have done really well in BCS games and in national championship games. And I think you're going to see a turn here. Now, you know, historically the Big Ten has done very well in the draft. So I do think this is a little bit of a down cycle, but the way that Brady at Michigan and Urban at Ohio State are recruiting, I think we're soon to see this turn again.
How many guys, and Denard Robinson is obviously at the very front here, are such great college players but don't translate into the NFL? Who besides Denard Robinson is probably going to get knocked way down in the draft because they just maybe don't translate to the NFL, although they were great college players in the Big Ten?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm not sure I'm the right guy to ask. You know, depending on what happens with Monte Ball, I mean, he broke the touchdown record in college football. That's pretty historic. And, you know, if he's a late second round or third rounder, I guess he could be an example. I don't study the draft real closely. I don't do a lot of work on personnel. I mean, obviously I have to do some just because I cover the conference so close, but most of my stuff is team or group orientated. But certainly a good question. But other than Monte, I don't know who else would come to mind. I'm sure I'm forgetting someone.
Well, I also want to talk a little bit, obviously, about what's going on as you and the guys at the BTN are making your rounds and looking at everybody. And here in Nebraska, the spring game, obviously, way back on April the 6th, the earliest they've ever played it. So some Husker fans don't realize that everybody else is just kind of finishing up. I noticed that Minnesota was somebody that you were pretty impressed with. Start with Minnesota and maybe some other places and other things that you saw that impressed you here over the last month.
Well, I just got home from Minnesota last night. I was scheduled to go there actually 8 days ago, but the weather in Minnesota decided it wasn't a good idea. the one thing about Minnesota, Minnesota is a developmental program, a program that has to be built, and impressive. And you may have seen this on my Twitter, but impressive with Jerry Kills. Every time you go there, they look better, and that's the kind of program it's going to be. It's going to be. Honestly, it's gonna take them another year or so, and they'll get back to where they were with Glenn Mason, and we can go into why they would have made that change and how that's been counterproductive. But Jerry's done a really good job. They were a little banged up yesterday. They've had some flu go through their team, so I don't know that they've had a great spring. I think they've had a good spring. Yesterday was their 14th practice, Doug, and as you know, you only get 15, so they'll play their spring game Saturday. I thought for a 14th practice, they really got a lot done. I'm always impressed when I go to Minnesota, and yet I know that it'll take, every great effort they have to win six games this year.
Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. So that the summer talk and when we go to Chicago for Big Ten Media Days, is there anybody that is even in the competition or even in the same sentence as Ohio State right now? Because I sure am not hearing anybody.
Well, certainly in the leaders, it's Wisconsin's probably the second best team. But I would agree that they're probably going to be the heavy favorite to win the conference. I think there's probably a good chance that Michigan will be favored to win the Legends. And I happen to believe there's a good chance that they'll play twice in a 14-day or 7-day period. And I wouldn't be surprised if they split the game. So if you're a fan of one of those teams, I don't know, maybe you hope they lose the first one. But the Legends is a little tighter, I think, Nebraska, Michigan, Northwestern. But the lead certainly looks like it's going to be Ohio State's to lose.
Well, obviously, Jerry, we want to get your thoughts on Nebraska. And going through the spring, the offense definitely very impressive. But some people are trying to sell me and sell us that the defense, I don't know if it's better than it looked or if it's just going to be better. That seems to be the glaring spot. What is your thoughts after viewing Nebraska in the spring?
Well, you know, my thoughts are offensively are, they're very talented. I do believe that they won't be happy with their end-of-season position, meaning championship, until they stop turning the ball over and until Taylor Martinez is more of a threat in the run game. I personally don't believe that Taylor Martinez can beat a good team with his arm. I know there's been talk forever about how he's gotten better, and I would agree that he has gotten better. He can't beat you with his arm. I think he can beat you with his legs. And when they get in the big game, if the defense has to defend the tailback in the run and Taylor Martinez in the run, I think they're dynamic. If they have to defend the tailback in the run and Taylor in the pass, I think they're average. On defense, too many big plays. You know, they're certainly talented. All coaches break down why big plays happen, and big plays are usually defined as runs over 15, passes over 20. And when you have a lot of big plays, it's usually loss of contain, loss of force, poor technique, missed assignments, and poor tackling. And I would say until those things are improved dramatically, they may come up short. Will Nebraska have a good team? I don't think there's any question. Will Nebraska have one of the better teams in the conference? I don't think there's any question. Will Nebraska be a championship team this year? I think if Martinez runs the ball and if they can stop the big plays on defense, it gives them a heck of a chance.
Coach Jerry DiNardo from the Big Ten Network with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show for another couple of minutes. Sporting News ranked all the coaches in the country and conference by conference this week. As a former coach, there's sometimes that it's going to get brought up. I know the coach speak is, I don't care about that kind of stuff. But yet, does it ever make a coach feel uneasy, whether they're first in the conference or 12th in the conference? And should we even be talking about that, having articles like that?
Well, you know, you and I have no control of whether we're going to have articles like that. That's probably the pace is out of the tube there. There's nothing you can do about that. Of course it makes the coach feel good if it looks good for him, and he feels bad if it looks bad for him. It's interesting you bring this up, Doug, and I'll answer it this way. We were having a conversation yesterday, we being Howie Griffith and myself, as we were traveling back and forth to Minnesota. Because Minnesota is one of those programs, again, we go there once a spring, once a fall, let's assume that I know the game and that Howard knows the game. We can see this thing getting better at Minnesota. We go to Indiana, who we both think is the most improved team in the conference from a year ago. And we see Kevin Wilson's plan just coming together. They're trying to win games by being dynamic on offense. They're trying to steadily improve on defense, obviously, through recruiting. It's very clear Indiana's getting better. So if I'm an athletic director and I look at the Minnesota situation, I look at the Indiana situation, what I've observed in practice and watching game tape is more important to my evaluation than anything else. So to answer your question, if the wrong people are interpreting that information, it could be dangerous. If the right person who makes the decisions is using that information to make decisions, it could be dangerous. If the right people are making the right decisions based on the right things, that article is nonsensical. I mean, I didn't see the article. I'm guessing Nick Saban's number one, is he not?
Yeah, in the country, and, of course, Urban number one in the Big Ten.
Well, who else would you put number one other than Nick based on wins and losses? Now, if I go to practice and I see something that and this isn't true. This is make-believe talk. If I would go to let's take Nick out of it, because I think Nick's a very good coach, and I like Nick. I'm a friend of Nick. But let's say it was Joe Smith who had the same record or a similar record to Nick, and we never went to practice, and we just said, God, he's won all his national championship. Wouldn't he be number one? But if we went to practice and he was dog cussing and throwing stuff and abusing it, then he wouldn't be number one. So the information, how you get the information and what the information is the vital thing. So, how someone could rate all these coaches, we really don't know, right? There's certain obvious things, like the guy who won 3 national championships in recent years. He's probably number one.
Yeah, he's probably doing okay for himself. And Jerry, before we let you go here, it's all but a cut and dry deal here with the 9-game schedule in 2016. Rutgers and Maryland are coming into the league. Looks like we're going to go east-west. And pretty basic, the Big Ten is just going to draw the line and say, these teams are east, they're going east. These teams are west, they're going to go west. Nebraska fans have to be smiling. It looks like the East is going to be the juggernaut of the two. Are you surprised that the Big Ten went this direction with the realignment?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. I'm a little disappointed. I really don't like it. I think competitive balance was the way to go. I think you can go north and south and have competitive balance and geography, but this is, and we're going to do a show on this hopefully Sunday night. I guess, Doug, the big question for me, and maybe you have the answer, why are we changing? I still don't know why are we changing. Are we changing because nobody likes leaders and legends? I mean, is that a reason to reorganize 14 world-class universities? I mean, is it because Michigan, Ohio State has to play the last game of the year, and the world used to be flat, and now it's round? I mean, I don't know why we're changing. I'm anxious to hear. And so I've been maybe not all that quiet about my criticism since I just went on for a minute and a half. But I really want to hear why we're changing before I have strong feelings. But right now, I like the way it was before the change. And if we insisted on geography, I could suggest north and south. I could divide. I could make it more competitively balanced and go north and south. But then the problem with my plan is Ohio State and Michigan are in the different divisions, and you wind up in a situation that may happen this year that they could play 2 weeks in a row. The last week of the season has to be divisional play. It can't be interdivisional play. That's a principle that you must keep when you divide conferences, and we broke that principle with leaders and legends. And if they won't compromise on when they want to play the game and so on and so forth, then he has issues. But I'm dying to find out why we made the change.
Well, hopefully we get some answers, because it just sounds like obviously that's the way it's going to go. And I guess last question, when it was brought up to go to a 9-game conference and even a 10-game conference schedule when there were only 12 teams in the league, I was vehemently against that. Now there's 14. I understand it a little bit more. But how do you see that 9-game schedule that comes in 2016? Obviously, Nebraska already talking about they're going to have to drop, and just like everybody else, well, they're going to have to drop a game. Nebraska's actually filled their schedule for 2016. I'm sure every school hasn't. But your thought on the 9-game conference schedule, pros and cons to that?
Well, you've already talked about one of the pros or cons, depending on whether you wanted to drop a team, and now this is a good reason to. It impacts your non-conference schedule. I would say this. Scheduling is always a critical component to all programs, especially ones that are building and especially ones that are elite. If I'm at Indiana, which I was, I hope to goodness it's 9, not 10. Why? Because I have a better chance of being bowl eligible if I'm smart with my non-conference schedule. If I'm an elite team, if I'm an elite program, if I'm Nebraska, I want 10 for this reason. The year that I have 4 home and 5 away, and I have a really good team, and Michigan's in my division, which I know they won't be any longer, but let's say, okay, let's use Wisconsin in 2016. If Wisconsin's in my division and they're a really good team and it looks like it's me or Wisconsin for the Western Division Championship, but it's their year that they have five home games and four away, I don't like it. So if I'm elite or I'm trying to stay elite, I want 10 because my competitive elite team could have five home, four away, and I could have four home, five away on the year that we go to nine. So if I'm a elite program, I want 10. If I'm a building program, I want 9. That's kind of how I look at it.
Well, I guess we're going to do whatever they tell us to do as far as the universities. So we'll get ready and continue to grow. And, Coach, we'll let you move on to the rest of your day. We always appreciate catching up with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Appreciate your insight.
Thanks for having me, Doug. Appreciate it.
Take care. Jerry DiNardo. Check him out on the Big Ten Network, BTN.com as well. And, of course, the former coach joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. This is part of our Husker recruiting update brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology that's easier on you for a lifetime. No commits this week for the Huskers. A lot of 2014, even 2015 players were at the Rivals camp in St. Louis last week. Sean Callahan was there, and we're going to talk with Sean next week on the program about where Nebraska football is and all kinds of things like that. But not a whole lot going on. Austin Anderson, here's a name that is out there. Northwestern, Texas Tech, Baylor are interested in him. He's a wide receiver. Nebraska is on his radar. So he's got lots of offers out there. But, again, there's so many guys out there with offers that are still trying to figure out what they want to do before starting their senior season of high school football. And you can always keep up to date with Sean Callahan, the group at Husker Online, Brian Munson, and the crowd at Big Red Report. So check it out, and we keep giving you the very latest as well here on the Doug and Daddy Show. That is our TNL Husker recruiting update brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology that's easier on you for a lifetime. Steve Anderson, Fauner Park in the last segment, but next, Fred Hill, Rutgers baseball coach, when we come back.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Do you want fries with that?
No, thanks.
Sounds like you're in a new Honda Civic.
I am.
Is it awesome?
Pandora compatibility and rear view camera standard.
Nice.
And Hondas hold their value better than any other brand.
I want one so bad I can taste it. It's ketchup-y.
Are you eating my order?
Maybe.
Get a Honda Civic with 0.9% APR financing for well-qualified buyers during the really big spring event. Now at your Honda dealer.
Pandora compatible with select smartphones. Wireless carriers rates apply. Value retention claim based on ALG's 2013 model year residual value award for mainstream brands. Visit ALG.com for more info. See dealer for financing details.
Introducing a faster way to push to talk. AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk. AT&T delivers more of what your business needs. Instant communication, up to 1,000 contacts, plus a broad array of devices and platforms. Visit att.com/enhancedptt3 to get your business started with a free Samsung Rugby 3. You push to talk, we pushed it further. AT&T, rethink possible.
Limited time offer. Free phone on new activations only. Requires 2-year commitment to eligible voice and data plans, plus activation of AT&T Enhanced Push to
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
mix of clouds and sunshine develops as we head through the day today with a high at around 70 as winds stay variable at 5 to 15. Then skies will stay mainly clear by tonight with low at 42. Then we climb up to 77 Saturday. Right now it's 61.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad you're along with us today. Good news for the UNK baseball team. They still have a chance to make the MIAA postseason tournament, and that is with some help from Northwest Missouri, team that kind of messed it up for UNK, now messes it up for Fort Hays State. That means with two wins yesterday by Northwest Missouri, the Lopers control their own destiny. They play Southwest Baptist. Both teams kind of need to win to get in. They're sitting right there on the bubble. And Southwest Baptist needs to get at least a couple of wins, and UNK needs a sweep. But if UNK can take all three at home this weekend, Memorial Field, beautiful weather, the Lopers would be headed to the MIAA tournament, which would be a feather in their hat and extend their baseball season. So the doubleheader today begins at 4. Single game tomorrow begins at noon. They'll honor their seniors before tomorrow's game in the home finale up at Memorial Field. For the Hastings College baseball team, they split their doubleheader yesterday with the Nebraska Wesleyan. They lost the first one 5-2. They won the nightcap 3-2. They're at Midland tomorrow. Hastings softball swept Dakota Wesleyan yesterday 7-0, 3-2. They'll host Mount Marty Saturday. They're also in action Sunday and Monday to wrap up the regular season. 5 doubleheaders in 6 days. Nebraska softball, they take on 9th-ranked Michigan in Lincoln over the next 3 days, beginning tonight at 6. UNK softball wraps up the season hosting Lincoln University in a doubleheader at Dryden Park tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Also, congratulations to UNK's track team. They continue to do some outstanding things as they get ready for the MIAA, and another school record was broken yesterday by Tanner Fruit, the athlete from Ogallala, one of three to compete in the Drake Relays. Obviously, it's so prestigious. And he broke the school record in the 5,000 meters that had been held since 1975, and he smashed it. He beat it by nearly 12 seconds. Chuck Mazur had the record 38 years ago, and now Tanner Fruit out of Ogallala breaks that record. Kearney High soccer team suffered their first loss on the boys' side yesterday to Millard West, 2-1. Lexington is at Hastings in the area. Soccer today. Districts will begin on Monday, including all day at UNK's Foster Field. The girls will start at 1 o'clock. Games at 1, 3, 5, and 7. The Kearney boys will play at 5 o'clock. Folks, you're keeping busy. It's beautiful out. If that grill hasn't already been on, I'm sure if you're a griller at all, it's been on. But this weekend will be one time that you can definitely fire it up, and the place to get the great items, steaks, USDA certified Angus beef, or something fresh from the smokehouse. Put it on your grill at Troutman's Quality Meats, a grill's best friend. Fresh out of the smokehouse today, hot brats, Polish dogs, all beef wieners, and of course the great State Fair brats. And don't forget Troutman's snack sticks and summer sausage. Whether you're in the boat, on the golf course, or just running around with the family, always a great snack. Try some fresh brats, including the green onion brat and the pizza brat. So good. Grill those steaks up this weekend. Don't forget that at Troutman's they age their steaks a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. Troutman's always has a large selection of fresh and smoked sausage. Fresh frozen seafood is available as well. It's not going to be any better than when you find it here on Highway 30, East Highway 30 in Kearney. It is Troutman's Quality Meats, a grill's best friend. Great baseball coming up this weekend at TD Ameritrade Park, and we have had the honor of talking to so many of collegiate baseball's great coaches over the years. In fact, quite a few of them that have reached that 1,000-win plateau. Dave Van Horn of Arkansas just last week joined us on the show, and we welcome another member of that club. The head coach of Rutgers, Fred Hill, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Coach, it's a pleasure to get a chance to chat with you. Thanks so much for the time. How are you?
Well, it's a pleasure to be out there. To come out and to compete.
Let's take a look at where you think your baseball team is, and then we'll kind of work around that. You come in with the same exact record that our Cornhuskers have here in Nebraska, and you guys don't shy away from competition either. You have seen some pretty darn good competition, beating up on Louisville, playing Miami of Florida, Georgia Tech. How do you think that has tested your ball club so far?
Well, I think it's probably tested us pretty good. We've played good against some of those clubs. We didn't really play good against Georgia Tech, but Miami and Louisville, we played very well against. We're kind of up and down. We have a few injuries right now. So I'm not sure just what to expect, to be honest with you, when we take the field. It's a different scenario every day. But I think our guys will be ready to play, and they have given us a good effort every time out, regardless of what the score ends up as. And, you know, everything's in that pitching category. So we started out very strong. We've slowed up a little bit, and then we had a great pitching effort yesterday from one of our freshmen. So hopefully that'll continue.
Let's talk about the opportunity to come out to Nebraska. Oklahoma State is right in that top 25 ranking. Creighton's been in and out of the rankings. Nebraska's second in the Big Ten. Tell me about scheduling this weekend out here in Omaha.
Well, the Big East gave us a bye weekend on this particular weekend, and we really didn't have anybody to play. And my assistant coach, Joe Letirio, got a call from Nebraska and asked us if we'd be interested, and we thought, yeah, it'd be a good trip. Not only to play quality baseball, but to have our kids get out to that part of the country.
And obviously also get a chance to play at the home of the College World Series. Is that, can you tell, are the kids fired up just for that point?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I don't think we're going to get there this year, although who knows, we might get hot, but I don't think we'll get there this year. But I think the kids will be very excited about playing at that arena.
We're talking with Fred Hill. He's the head baseball coach for the last 30 years at Rutgers University here on the Doug and Daddy Show. They're coming out to the TD Ameritrade Classic this weekend. You do have a pitching staff that is top-heavy with seniors, and they have done, it looks like they have done their job. Tell me a little bit about your pitching staff.
Yeah, for the most part, Rob Smorrow, Tyler Gebler, and Charlie Law are all senior pitchers. They've got some experience behind them. This weekend we'll probably use another senior by the name of Rob Corsi, a left-hander who's pitched very well out of the bullpen for us. Tyler Gebler is shut down for a week. He's got a sore shoulder, but I think Corsi will do a good job for us. He's done a very good job in relief. We're just looking forward to the competition, and I've got our fingers crossed. Hopefully we'll play very well.
I want to know a little bit more about Charlie Law, because he's one of those kids that when he's not pitching, he's at the plate for you, he's playing in the field for you, and that's the kid slated
right.
to go against Nebraska, but this guy is doing it on both sides.
Yeah, he's doing it both ways and doing a very good job. He's a first baseman. He plays first when he doesn't pitch. He hits fifth or sixth in our lineup, and he's leading us right now. I think he's the number two hitter on our team. He's an RBI guy, got some power, that type of thing. Hold on one second and let me check. He's hitting .316 right now with 30 RBIs, so he's a main cog in our lineup.
And you got a sophomore outfielder that's leading you at the plate, if I get this right, Vinny Zarrillo. Can you tell me a little bit about Vinny?
Yeah, Vinny's a sophomore. He's our leading hitter. He's hitting .366, and he's got 20 ribbies. Vinny has come on in the second half of the year and doing a very good job. He's also an excellent defensive outfielder. We count on him to get some ribbies. He's picked up quite a few in the last couple games.
We're talking with Fred Hill, the head coach at Rutgers, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Every team has to have one or two leaders on and off the field, and it looks like your starting catcher is one smart cookie.
Yeah, he's a baseball guy. Jeff Melillo is a very smart young man, has a good instinct for the game, and handles the pitchers extremely well, throws the ball good. He's been a major plus for us.
Fred Hill with us here for just another couple minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show. You guys will be joining us soon in the Big Ten Conference. You've already been a part of one transition from the Atlantic 10 to the Big East. Are you looking
right.
Are you looking forward to the move? And take me back to that time, what that transition was like and what you expect this next transition to be like.
Well, to be honest with you, Doug, it was kind of a smooth transition from the Atlantic 10 because some of the teams we had already played. I think we did quite well in the Atlantic 10. I think the transition to the Big 10 will be a little bit harder from a competitive standpoint. We've played some of the Big 10 teams down in Florida in the Big East Big 10 Challenge, and they're all very well coached and really really good ball clubs. So we'll be looking forward to that. It'll be a real challenge. I think we'll lose quite a few players this year, but we have some young men that in the freshman and sophomore class that we think are going to be pretty good players. So we're certainly looking forward to it because we love the best competition we can get, but it might be a little bit harder.
Coach, obviously.
Especially to travel.
We're learning that out here in Lincoln, that it's not just down the road to Lawrence, Kansas anymore. So we're starting to get used to that. I wanted to ask you, because last year when Stony Brook made it to the College World Series, it brought up how tough it is for Northeast. We think it's kind of tough in cold weather here. How tough is it to your kids? You've got a good recruiting base, but how tough is it to get a baseball program where you want it to be? You've had success, very few losing seasons, but how tough is it to be on the national scene with a Northeast program in the United States?
Well, I think it's very tough. There haven't been many Northeast teams that have gone on to the College World Series recently, but as an example, we open up with Miami. We've done that for a number of years, and we've been outside 3 days before we go to Miami, and of course Miami's outside every day. But there's nothing you can do about that. If you want to complain about it, you go ahead, but it's not going to change anything. So our approach is, look, let's play the best we can play, learn from that type of a situation, and get better as we go along. Usually that's what's been done. And, it takes your time. We've had, I think we probably had eight home games this year so far. That's all we've had. We've been on the road constantly. But again, you can't change it. Unfortunately, this year the weather's been terrible. So even in Miami and Georgia Tech and Virginia, we've had poor weather. So that doesn't make it any easier. We line up and play, and hopefully we can do the best we can. It should make us better.
And Coach, just reading your bio here, there was one thing I had to ask you about. When you kind of got your coaching career underway and started at Montclair State, you weren't just the baseball coach. You were also the football coach. Is that true, and what was that like?
Oh, yeah, it was excellent. It was great. I was the head baseball and the head football coach. We had very good football teams at Montclair. I spent, 19 years in high school before I went to Montclair. So I've been around for a while. But I enjoyed that. I liked it very much. I had great assistant coaches. So, in the fall, my assistant baseball coach took care of the fall program. And then the spring, of course, I was there. And my football guys, we didn't have any spring practice at that time in Division III. So, but we had some great football players and great baseball players. We did very well. We went to the Division III College World Series, and we won our league a couple times in football, had a couple kids go on to the pros. So it was a great time for me. It was a lot of fun.
Well, Coach, we've ordered up temperatures in the 70s, maybe even touching 80 one day this weekend in Omaha. So we hope it's going to be a great time for you and the Rutgers baseball program. And we look forward to getting to know more about you guys as we welcome you to the Big Ten Conference.
Okay, good. Thank you. I don't know if we'll know how to act at 70 degrees. I'm not sure. It's been 30s and 40s here,
It's tough to swing with those jackets on.
Our kids might not know how to act, so I don't know.
Well, Fred, thanks so much for the time. It sure was a pleasure catching up with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a safe trip.
Okay, thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Coach. Fred Hill joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Nebraska plays them Sunday, but they're playing every single day, and it'll be a beautiful weekend to watch some baseball if you're headed to Omaha, TD Ameritrade Park. Some breaking news with the NBA and Steve Anderson from Fodder Park when we come back on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You're in your car. You pull into the gas station and a feeling of deja vu hits you. Wasn't I just here? Sure feels like it. But there's an easy solution. You can boost gas mileage with a simple tune-up. A quick stop at AutoZone and you'll have what you need. But wait, didn't you already know that?
Right now at AutoZone, save over 40% on Autolite XP Iridium spark plugs after $1 instant savings and $2 mail-in rebate. Get in the zone. AutoZone. See store for restrictions and details.
Hello, this is Scott for Scots. Do you think grass ever wonders what grass heaven must look like? Because if I'm a blade of grass, a Major League Baseball park would be not a shade short of heaven to me. That's why Scotts is busting our breeks happy to be the official lawn care company of Major League Baseball. Scotts firmly believes you can have that very same heavenly grass in your own lawn. For your own big league lawn, feed it with Scotts. Feed it.
Scotts is the official lawn care company of Major League Baseball.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops as we head through the day today with a high at around 70 as winds stay variable at 5 to 15. Then skies will stay mainly clear by tonight with low at 42. Then we climb up to 77 Saturday. Right now it's 61. So live your life.
God, that just kind of reminds me that one thing we didn't have to hear all spring long was New York! They played it for the draft for like 7 months. Russell Westbrook going to undergo surgery to repair a torn meniscus in his knee, and that is not good news for who? The Thunder.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City. That, I don't take joy in that making my San Antonio pick look better, but that is a big blow to a team that needs Russell Westbrook. So he is out and surgery on his knee. Nothing good can come of that except repairing the knee as far as the timeline goes. Bobby Bowden has not returned to a football game at Florida State since his retirement or firing, however you want to look at that, in 2009. That changes this year. He'll attend games against North Carolina State and Syracuse for special ceremonies. Of course, Bowden won 377 games at Florida State, one of the winningest, and I will continue to say Joe Paterno has won more football games than Bobby Bowden. I don't care about the stripping of those games, but still, great job by Coach Bowden. Don't forget, folks, you read it around. Time for lunch. Why don't you try Big Dally's Deli, two locations in Hastings at 801 West 2nd Street and 610 East South Street. And, of course, in Kearney, top of the hill, 3905 North 2nd Avenue. Don't be shy of the half-pounder, folks. The old 51, everything on it. There are a bazillion sandwiches to choose from at Big Dally's Deli. There may only be 55 or whatever on the board, but you can make them in so many different ways, different cheeses, different breads, wraps, hot, cold. There are so many different ways to make the sandwiches. Plus, combo it up, get a little soup, maybe a cookie, maybe the old fruit cup. Can't go wrong with that. Some chips, soda. It's all there for you. And whether you're on the run, whether it's for you, the family, they'll take care of you at Big Dally's Deli. Kearney, two locations in Hastings. Well, we had a great time yesterday at Fauner Park, getting to see how it all goes down when the biggest race of the season is held. And Steve Anderson, the voice of Fauner Park, busy doing his jobs yesterday and wanted to give him some time to look over the field in not only the Bosselman but the Al Swihart and give us his selections. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Doug. You know, yesterday was kind of a break in the action for me. It was a rare day when I didn't have to use my mouth, but I ran my little legs off. I will guarantee you that. And we want to take a deep bow and thank you so much for being a part of the pomp and circumstance, as I describe it, with that draw on the Bosselman Gus Fauner Stakes. It's the 24th edition coming up tomorrow. Big part of the fabric that intertwines and, you know, all about the big picture and what goes on out there. And you certainly brought a new element to the table. And the racing officials, I've never seen them bristle and dress up so well. These guys are normally pretty well shaven, I might add. But there was just a little more bounce in their giddy up yesterday. And I attribute it all to the fact that you and Mike Will were there on the scene and and perhaps capturing some of the passion that we all share about thoroughbred horse racing. Thank you so much.
Well, to everybody, we appreciate it, as always, working with everybody at Fawner. And let me take it another step. This, again, is probably one of those questions, Steve, I could ask you off the air, but I actually just want to see what you do have to say, because I know this is the first time Daddy hasn't been on since his retirement to talk about this, and we both and Jimmy Langan has the same enthusiasm for the horse racing, so Friday's a good day to talk about that. We always want, and we brought up, how can we make it bigger and better? I think for the first time I'm realizing that right now there's not a whole lot you can do because of the crowds and the horses you're bringing in, that you need to make this event bigger and better because you want to concentrate on the rest of the meet. What are your thoughts on where we are at, and does that make a little sense in what we're saying there?
Yeah, you know, I know there was some concern not that many years ago now when they downscaled the purse of the Bossman from $100,000 to $75,000. Trust me that in 1990, a $100,000 purse certainly garnered a lot more attention nationwide than it does today. And I think the racing officials and management Fawner Park realized this over the course of time, that somewhere along the way, $100,000 was diminished significantly. And then with the creation of the racinos around the country, and suddenly $5,000 claimers are running for $20,000 pots, and it just escalated from there, where you know, now you need $1 million to attract graded stakes type runners that we really didn't fit in the niche, and to drop to $75,000 probably didn't diminish one iota the kind of horses that we were able to bring here in here from day one. So where do we fit as far as the future is concerned, man? I'll tell you what, I've been waving the flag and screaming on behalf of Nebraska Thoroughbred Horse Racing. I can honestly say that at this point in time, as we come to a crossroads now, the Fawner meet wrapping up, you know, in only five more racing days, I've never seen so many long, drawn faces of horsemen on the backside at every level, whether they're a groom, an outrider, of a trainer, the horseshoers, the vets, the gallop boys, and then you go into the main office, and people that have made their living on a year-round basis now are looking at a break here. Following Fawner's meet, they'll run three more days in Omaha, and then it's over for 2.5, almost 3 months. They're going to run 16 days in Columbus starting August 2nd, wrapping up on September 2nd. But that whole, because of the demise of Lincoln, which no longer has a racetrack, although there's still a flicker of hope that somehow, some way, the money's going to come from somewhere, and they're going to build a track in Southwest Lincoln. But I guess I've become more of a pessimist over the course of time. This trickle-down effect is going to hurt even Fawner Park, I think, because we've got a glut of horses that have nowhere to go after the second week of May. Many horses have already taken off and gone to Prairie Meadows in Iowa. A significant number of more outfits are going to go up to Canterbury in Minnesota, even less, but a few going out to Arapahoe Park in Colorado. But I'm guessing that almost 40, maybe 50% of the horses that we see on a year-to-year basis here at Fawner are just going to go home. What are they going to do with these horses? Are they going to continue to feed them in the process to go broke or try to hope they make it up at the short Columbus meet? I don't know. I'm anticipating, Doug, that they probably start selling these horses, turning them out or turning them into pets. There's a great rescue program going around here, but the last I checked, not many people that I know have a big enough backyard to take a horse on you as a pet. So then next year, the attrition rate takes away from the total number of horses that we attracted this year. I mean, that's just what I see in the top of my head. And slowly, unless something comes up where we can put a circuit together, and I haven't ruled out the fact, and I've waved the flag with you guys over the years too, that we need to tie in with Iowa and Oklahoma and Colorado and maybe just get on with it and forget about the rest of Nebraska, because somehow, some way, Fawner will survive. But in the interim, things are not rosy, and I tip my hat to the horsemen that have made their living for three, four generations, and some even longer, just right here in Nebraska. They have hung in there and defied the odds, but you can see on the horizon that for a lot of folks, the end could be near. I hope I'm absolutely wrong.
Well, let's talk about excitement tomorrow. For the first time, the Swihart and the Possumman will be run on the same day. Let's start with the big one. Let's start with the Possumman. You've had a chance to look over the numbers, look over the form, make your predictions. I'm going to be honest with you. I have the same feeling today as I did when I walked out of the program yesterday, and that was after talking with the owner, Kevin Hulls, of the morning line favorite Joy Boy, after talking to Chuck Turco, who might be able to sell me, you know, ice in Iceland. But I've seen your prediction, and we are on opposite sides of the fence. I don't have the vibe that Joy Boy is the boy tomorrow, and actually my pick is going to be a little bit off the charts here, which scares me to death. Why should I believe in Joy Boy?
He's the lone speed horse potentially in a field of eight on a 5/8 mile oval like we have here at Fodder Park. If this horse adjusts to the dirt, he loves the dirt, but every surface is different, and horses can come in here from Florida and just run a hole in the wind. They love it. Horses can come up here from Arkansas. This year has been a great example, and they have just loved it. Most of them went in the first time they stepped foot on the track. The only question I have about Joy Boy, it's a little bit of a tiring racetrack, even though with the great weather now we're going to have coming into tomorrow's race, it's still a little heavy. For what Joy Boy, who comes off of the fastest lightning dirt tracks in America, that being in Southern California. Now, he's been working out at Churchill Downs, which is much more probably in comparison to Fodder Park similar because it's a little bit deeper there. If Joy Boy adjusts to the track, I think he controls the pace from start to finish, Doug. The only other horse I can see in this race that could go out with him, and I think it's suicide to even think that Chuck Turco would send Diamond Joe up and try to match strides with Joy Boy, because I think he absolutely would just perish and melt down through the latter stages of the race. I think Joy Boy goes out in front all by himself. Diamond Joe can settle in second, but probably be three, four lengths off the pace at some point of the race, just hoping that Joy Boy can't go a mile 16 over our racing surface. He's proven he can go that distance in his racing career. It's just a matter of the trip up here, which was, he was vanned up here 1,500 miles, the different surroundings. I mean, the owner that you met, Kevin Hulls, made mention to me that they took him right to the racetrack on Wednesday, and they took him right back out yesterday, and he was right out there again this morning. The biggest problem they have are with the geese and the ducks flying in, which is something you just take for granted around here because it's part of everyday life at Fodder Park, but there's tens of thousands of these birds that have from time to time landed on the racetrack. And Kevin said that the first time that Joy Boy went out on the track, he was looking all around, just like he was at the circus or a carnival for the first time. If they can make that adjustment, and some horses are quick to learn, others never get it. I mean, there are things that could foul up, on paper anyway, Joy Boy winning as if he's much the best. I really look for Diamond Joe, regardless of the scenario in the early stage of the race, to throw a huge race for Chuck Turco. He's been waiting for this race since he met this horse as a two-year-old, and he knew he really had something here. This is his signature race in Nebraska, never been won by a Nebraska-bred horse, and Chuck is a guy that doesn't take no under any circumstances. He had Diamond Joe's father, Dazzling Falls, the greatest Nebraska-bred thoroughbred of all time, bar none, and he thinks that in some way this horse can step up to the plate and never be able to match the earnings that Dazzling Falls made, but make a signature statement tomorrow. I think Joy Boy is the obvious pick when you look at it on paper, but I think everybody, including myself, somewhere deep down inside will be really, really rooting for Diamond Joe to get the job done.
Well, we haven't even talked about, and we can't break every horse down because of time here. Haven't even talked about Kate's main man, who's the money horse, has made the most money coming in here. The defending champion, as Chuck Turco told us yesterday, Ransom Roberto, has really done zilch since winning the Bosselman last year. I'm going to tell you the horse that I like. I see in your column that you like him, but you just don't think he can finish. And that's the one, Unsaddled Glory, who likes to come from the back, and out of that one hole, he doesn't have to worry about a quick break. Why should I not like Unsaddled Glory?
Well, you're going to like the price, that's for sure. And you have to bet any kind of race, including this one, based on value. If anybody can ensure the fact that Unsaddled Glory can go another 16th of a mile, because by nature he's been a sprinter almost his entire career, it would be the old crafty Irishman, Larry Donlan. Unsaddled Glory, I'm going to use him, you know, in a superfecta ticket or the late pick four, whatever. I think he threw a race that potentially he could bounce off of last time out. He had everything go right for him, including the maneuverability of the jockey, Carlo Lopez, who made a move at the top of the lane to cut down inside and just kind of sneak up on Diamond Joe. And when this horse went past him right at the wire, and they were only heads apart, Diamond Joe, it was like he came out of a sleepwalk, and he tried to pick up his pace, but he only had two more strides to the wire and couldn't get the job done. Diamond Joe's two of his biggest losses of the year have come when he was in front. He toys with the field, and he just kind of goes asleep a little bit. I hope that your horse, Unsaddled Glory, because I love Larry Donlan. I've known him since I was a kid. I'd love to see him win that race. I just don't know if he can put two great races back-to-back at this point in his career.
I think it's going to be Diamond Joe, the four horse, and Unsaddled Glory, the one horse. You're taking Joy Boy and officially over him, okay?
Yeah, I've got Diamond Joe second. And Ransom Roberto and Kate's main man, I think you can flip a coin for the horses coming from off the pace to run third or fourth. I will say fast improving horses, Box Home Brew, and you can make a case for almost everybody going to the post in here. That's what makes it such a great race. Maybe the best day ever with the Swihart and the Bossman both being on the same card. You got to go back a long ways to duplicate what you're going to witness tomorrow.
And finally, Steve, a quick prediction on the Swihart. It's a 9-horse field, but only 8 because you got a 1 and a 1A with, of course, Suki's Cookies, which we just love out there, or Suki's Cookies, however. It's Cookies and Spice Swirl. But give me your prediction for the Swihart.
Well, Curtis Kimes is coming up from Oklahoma. Curtis is a former jockey champion here at Fauner Park. He knows our 5/8 oval better than anybody, and primarily to ride Jim Mayard's Little Miss Know-It-All. You talked to Jim yesterday. Curtis also ride in the Bossman race. But this horse, she scared off Silver Meeting, and that I didn't think could be done, who was unbeaten earlier in the year. I like Little Miss Know-It-All to win the Swihart with Terice out of the Mike Kirby barn to make a solid 1-2 play in there, along with an Oakland Shipper I put third. That's Cowgirl Princess. Can you top that one?
I got no idea. As usual with the ladies, I leave it up to other people to make the prediction there, and no one's been able to figure them out yet. So anything else, Steve, before we let you go? Because we can tell you're busy.
Hey, just the fact that Jack Vanberg is going to be with us on closing day, that's Derby Day, the first Saturday in May. I know you're going to have more on that, along with Chris Katulak, who wrote Jack's biography. And we're really looking forward to that. You know, as always, we can't wait to see if the races, guys. First race today goes at 3 p.m.
Sounds great, Steve. We'll see you. Have a good one.
Hey, thanks so much, guys.
Take care. Steve Anderson, voice at Fauner Park. Outstanding, outstanding. outstanding tomorrow. A big race. Of course, today you've got Fodder Park, followed by Nebraska Danger Football. The biggest day of the year in Nebraska racing is tomorrow and Sunday. And we'll talk more next week as we get through this draft, the NFL draft and the Bossman the next week. We've got a lot of talk on the Kentucky Derby. Gino Bucola from the TVG Network, Chris Katulak, of course, former voice there at Fodder Park, who's been with TVG and has been at a variety of places, written the book, as he said. We'll talk about that. We're also going to effort Jack Vanberg for next week's Doug and Daddy show. Anything else, Jeffrey, that you would like to add to today's program?
No, sir. We covered it all.
All right. Let's get on out of here. Let's finish it up. Any more? Russell Westbrook again going to have some surgery. And NFL rounds 2 and 3 set for tonight. District soccer, by the way, gets underway on Monday. So to all those competing this weekend, the very best of luck. Randy Bushcutter and Greg Shea are going to be in for Monday's program and talk about everything that happened over the weekend and get you ready for the final couple of days in April and that opening weekend of May. It's hard to believe. Best of luck to the Broncos and the Loper baseball teams. They need some wins this weekend to make the postseason. Softball continuing on. Huskers playing in Omaha. Enjoy your weekend. Want to thank the fine folks, including Jerry DiNardo of the Big Ten Network for talking a little football, Rutgers baseball coach Fred Hill, and Steve Anderson from Fodder Park. Enjoy the Swihart and the Bosselman tomorrow. We'll see you next week here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.